Time now for the Africa Report, and joining us on the line we have Stephanie Walters, a senior research fellow at the South African Institute of International Affairs. Stephanie, a very good morning to you. Welcome once again to Radio Islam International.
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
A new electoral commission in the DRC is approved amid controversy. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's right. I mean, this is, of course, a tremendously important issue in terms of the credibility of the elections that are due to take place in 2023. Now, we have to remember that the current president is really someone who emerged out of a lot of controversy around the election that was took place in 2018. In fact, that election was stolen from the real winner, and stolen in part as a result of the fact that the former Independent Electoral Commission was highly politicized and an institution that was really unable to assert its own independence. So this question of how the new electoral commission has been formed has been central to understanding how committed President Tshisekedi is to electoral credibility. The process has been highly politicized. It's been controversial. Essentially, the nomination of the head of the Independent Electoral Commission is something that is undertaken by the religious confessions in the DRC, eight formal representatives, only six of whom agreed to the nomination of the current the new head of the Independent Electoral Commission, and the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church objecting strenuously, along with opposition groups, to the way in which this process was taken forward. Now, there is one last chance that President Tshisekedi himself can veto this nomination, but it seems unlikely given that the candidate who has been appointed, his name is Denis Kadima, is somebody who is considered to be very close to Tshisekedi. So a real benchmark for how the next elections go forward.
Turkish President Erdogan is touring three African countries. Brief us on Turkey's interest in Africa.
Yes, well, these have increased tremendously since Erdogan took power 17 years ago. When he first arrived in office, Turkish investments in Africa were $5 billion. They've now increased to $25 billion. And Erdogan is visiting Togo, Angola, and Nigeria. At the moment, exports to Africa are only about 10% of total exports by Turkey, but there is a real intention, a real strategy to shift that. Turkey now has 43 embassies on the continent, and Erdogan has visited 30 countries, which is quite a lot for a foreign head of state. So this is really a strategy that we've also seen visibly. There are more Turkish schools on the continent. Turkish Airlines is flying to more African countries. There is a Turkey-Africa investment summit that is going to be taking place in the next few weeks, and then before the end of the year we'll have a summit of heads of state, African heads of state, with the Turkish head of state in Turkey. So a real new player in Africa, along with some of the other older players. And of course, this is always very contested terrain, with Russia, China, France, and the US all playing key roles on the continent for a very long time.
Now, Cameroon's separatist Anglophone insurgency goes into its fifth year with neither political compromise nor end in sight.
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of those low-level conflicts that doesn't get a lot of attention. There are about 3,500 people who are estimated to have died in this conflict, and 700,000 internally displaced people. Now, this is really about a controversy or a conflict between linguistic groups. Cameroon was both a British and a French colony after the Germans handed it over after World War II. And basically, Anglophones in Cameroon, arguing that they have been consistently neglected by a predominantly Francophone state. This has been a long-standing argument, but about 5 years ago, this turned into an armed conflict with Anglophone militants pushing for secession of Western English-speaking parts of Cameroon. And the Cameroonian government, which doesn't tolerate opposition really of any kind, has chosen a very heavy-handed response to this, has essentially responded militarily and through security crackdowns, and has refused to hold any kind of dialogue of any real merit with these militants. And last week we saw a young girl of 6 years being killed at a checkpoint in one of the southern cities, Buea. And this has again sparked really intense pushbacks from the militants and from people living in the Anglophone areas, who essentially feel completely marginalized and neglected by their government.